The question that Missy asks is the question that every one of us wrestles with. Sometimes we allow ourselves to be distracted and we kind of push it off into the back closets of our mind, but it comes out. Who am I? How do I fit? What's going on in this world? What went wrong? What's going to happen to me? And the reason that we all ask those questions is because we have been made by God for God. And we have been made by the one who has written the story. And it all fits together. And I'm convinced that that's one of the reasons why we love stories. And as soon as we hear those words, once upon a time, our ears perk up, our attention is grabbed, and we're in. We love to hear stories. So, let me tell you a story. I'll tell you a story of a bricklayer. Not just any bricklayer. This bricklayer was so good. He prided himself on the fact that he was able to predict with incredible precision the exact number of bricks that he was going to use in a particular job. And sure enough, he would get to the end of the job and there wasn't any bricks left over. Done it exactly right. Except once he got to the end of a job and he had one brick left over. He was upset. And what do you suppose he did with that brick? Threw it over his shoulder and walked away. Yeah, that's it. That's the story. See, we love stories, don't we? No, we love stories that make sense, don't we? That story didn't make sense. And you're looking at me like, oh, Bob, I'm really feeling sorry for you. I brought my friends here to this concert, told them what a good speaker you are. Now you're embarrassing me. Okay, so I won't do that anymore. The reason we like stories is because most stories, unlike that, have a plot. They have a theme. There's something that happens with that story, that whether there's conflict or drama or there's a problem that arises and a hero who comes in and rescues the situation. And then those are the kinds of stories that we like. Those are the kinds of stories that we will pay millions and millions of dollars to make into movies and even pay more money to go and see. All right, so give me another chance. I'll tell you another story. There was a lady. A lady who had a little dog and she wanted to go visit her friend in another city. And so she decided to take a train to go visit this friend. And so she got on the compartment and everything was going along just fine. And just before the train left the station, there was a man who was also taking that same train, got on and sat in the compartment with her. So far, so good. As the train left the station, gone down the track a little bit, man reached into his pocket and pulled out a cigar. He was about to light up the cigar when she said, "Oh, sir, please, not in here. You see, I've got this little dog, and this little dog doesn't do well with cigar smoke. And he's got this little asthmatic condition, and if you smoke this cigar, it will not be good for the dog." "Dear lady, I don't care about your dog. I bought a ticket to ride on this train just like you. I enjoy riding on the train, and I enjoy my cigar. So I don't know what you're going to... You want to open the window, that's fine, but I'm smoking my cigar." And he lit up a cigar. Well, she opens the window and she's not real pleased with him, especially after a little while, the dog starts going.
And she's going, sir, please, you know, you see my dog, he's having a little problem here. Please, would you just put out that cigar? I mean, can't you wait until we at least get to the next place and you can get out? And he said, lady, I don't really care. I am smoking the cigar. I enjoy the cigar. I have been waiting to smoke this cigar. I don't care about your dog. And by this time, the dog's going, and so she is really getting angry with him. Finally, she gets so upset, she reaches over, she grabs a cigar, she throws it out the window of the train. So he reaches over and grabs her dog and throws it out the window of the train. And now she's going, ah! I can't believe you did that with a dog! Well, by this time, they're about to pull into a station. They get to the station. And she just runs out of the train and goes on the platform. And she's looking, and pretty soon here comes the dog. You know, just right down the side of the train. And guess what it has in its mouth? The brick. You know, that's kind of like life, isn't it? There's some things that are just hanging out there that just don't make sense. And then there comes the resolution. You know, when we talk about the birth of Christ, when you open Matthew's gospel in the Bible and you begin to read about the birth of Christ, I'm holding up a little Bible here because I want you to see this. This is all that came before the birth of Christ. And when you open up Matthew's gospel, you start to read all of these genealogies. Because the birth of Christ is all part of the story. It's the story that ties all the stories of life together. Because it is God who wrote His story that we happen to call history. It's all about Him. And when God chose to create you, He made you as part of His story. And life will not make sense until you accept His story, His truth in your own heart. And what you need to understand is the hero of the entire story is Christ. Life is not ultimately about you. It is about Christ. And the reason for that, it's actually rather simple. And you can actually boil down the whole story, really, to four things. First of all, God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and as part of His creation, He created man and woman as the chief act of His creation to enjoy God and people through whom God would display His glory. People with whom God would enjoy. You were made by God for His pleasure, for His joy. But Adam and Eve said, I don't like that story. I don't like the fact that God's making all the rules. He's the one in charge. I want to be God. I want to make my own rules. And that is what mankind has done ever since. We have rejected God. We have said, I'll go my own way. Thank you very much. I will make my own rules. I'll follow my own direction. And so, when God made man, man sinned. And He brought upon Himself the curse that goes with sin. And this earth has been cursed, and it lives with the curse of sin. And right now there are tensions and there are violence and all the stuff that's not only out there in this bad world, but it's in here, in our hearts.
And we can't save ourselves. We can't fix ourselves. We can have every kind of summit and conference and every kind of committee and government and study and research done. You can't fix the human heart. And so God, who would have been just and right to allow us to suffer the consequences for our sin, instead, He sent Christ. And why did it have to be this way? Because the human race had sinned, and the human race had to pay the penalty for sin. But humans couldn't do that and satisfy God's justice. So God sent Himself, Christ, the God-man, who was God, He was infinite, and could pay an infinite penalty, and could live a perfectly righteous life, even as He took upon Himself the form of man, so that the human race could be credited with the life and the death of Jesus Christ. God, man, Christ. And what Christ did in His life, He lived the life that you could not live. He lived an absolutely perfect life, so that He, who did not deserve to die because He had no sin, died by His own choice in your place. Because the only way for God not to judge you for your sin was to judge His Son as your substitute, who took your place. And the life He lived and the death He died was so complete and so sufficient that He didn't leave any room for your effort to earn your own forgiveness. And some of you live under that bondage, under that weight, wondering if your religious deeds or your morality is ever good enough. Well, I can tell you right now, it's not, never will be. But it doesn't have to be. Because Christ paid the penalty for your sin in full. And that's why when He died on the cross, He said, "It is finished." God, man, Christ, response. What do you do with this? Are these just some facts of history that you understand and check it off in a little quiz and pass the test? Friend, it is so much more than something that you have to understand intellectually. Yes, you have to understand that intellectually. But you have to embrace that with your whole heart. And you have to trust in Christ alone. And that is why in the book of Ephesians, in chapter 2, in verse 8, we read, "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and not by works." We love to play this music. Oh, we love to sing this music. And it is such a joy for us to be able to welcome you here tonight and do this for you. But the reason we do this is that we would have an opportunity to tell you the greatest news that you could ever know. But you have to do something with it. It's now on your plate to accept. And our heart is, our desire is that you would understand what Christ has done for you and then give up. Give up trusting in yourself. Give up trusting in your religious activities, your morality. Trust in Christ alone. And accept Him as your Savior. Follow Him as your King. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we love this season of the year. We love the lights that remind us that You're the light of the world. We love the songs because they give to our hearts such wonderful opportunities to express what joy we have in knowing that life makes sense, that there is One who has ordained all of these things, and that one day You will return. Thank You for allowing us to be able to have Your Word, which tells us of these things. And Lord Jesus, I ask tonight for those who are here this evening who are wrestling with these things, trying to make sense of this, trying to figure all of this out and wondering if this is really true. And I ask that You will send forth Your Spirit to open the eyes of their hearts, that they may see for themselves Christ, not only as Savior, but their Savior. Christ, not only the King, but their King, their Messiah, their Lord. And I pray that You will help them in coming to grips with that truth, to accept Christ as Savior, to receive the forgiveness of their sins and be declared righteous in Your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.